blameless. I will walk with integrity of heart. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. Steadfast love and justice. I will ponder the way that is blameless. I will walk with integrity in heart. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Singing, for the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures. For the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures. For the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures. For the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures. Joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Come into his presence and sing again. For the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures. For the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures. For the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures.
Let's all stand, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to New Hope. Would you say thank you to our OG worship team? They lead our youth ministries in worship every single week.
Yeah.
Great heart. They love the Lord. Now, if you want to give thanks and bless his name, would you lift up a clap offering to him and welcome the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
All right, how's it going, church, today? Are we ready to worship our Father?
Oh,
nation. From generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are the
widow and orphan. hope is in the name of the Lord. What peace for those whose confidence is Him alone.
Thank you.
many would say that you adore the Lord tonight? How many of you would do that? Hey, would you say thank you to our OG worship team? Would you say thank you to them? I know they don't do it for the applause. They do it because their hearts are right before the Lord. And sometimes we can turn into, Christian groupies, can't we? Where we walk in, we see a worship team, and, well, we don't know who they are. And maybe there's a new song that's being sung, and we think, oh, we don't know this song. And we kind of turn our attentions away rather than just walking into the presence of God. You know, sometimes we can be so filled with consumerism that we only go to people or things that we like that feeds us rather than saying, you know what, I'm just going to walk into the presence of God. And folks, our OG team walked us into the presence of God. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? Yeah, so when it comes time to worship, you know, just close your eyes sometimes. In fact, right now, would you close your eyes? Spend a little quiet time with the Lord. Would you do that right now? Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to walk into your presence. That regardless of who's here on stage, Father, we know who's in heaven. And that you've allowed us to walk into the Holy of Holies. When your son Jesus was crucified on the cross, you tore that curtain from top to bottom and allowed us as mere mortals to walk into the presence of the Almighty King. Thank you for being a God who loves us so much, O God, that you don't consider our past, you don't consider the things we may have done today. You look at us for who we are and you see us for who we can become. That's the kind of love that you share to us and share with us. Your grace is just everlasting. Father, help us to receive that from you. Although your grace and your love flows continuously from your heart to ours, so many times we've stood apart from you, haven't we? Where our own mistakes, our own shame, our own sense of inadequacies have made us believe that we're not worthy to stand in your presence. And Father, many times we're not, but still you welcome us in. Thank you for being a God like that. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters that we're surrounded with today. We pray that your showers of blessings will flow on them, that you will touch their hearts in such a way that they will know how real you are, that you are a God, that you're a living God, not a God of the past, but a God that loves us and lives for us today. Would you come and allow your Holy Spirit to sweep through this place, Father, including our hearts. Clean ourselves from all that is not of you, so we may receive more of you. Be our best friend and our best teacher tonight. Open our hearts to the things that we need to learn, that we may leave here as different persons than when we came in. We love you for who you are, for all that you are. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you thank him today? Give someone a big hug and welcome them to New Hope. Go ahead.
Welcome. Especially want to welcome those of you who may be joining us for the very first time. Thank you for being here. My name is Ryan Tsuji, and we'd like to deliver the announcements for tonight. Before we get started, I don't know how many of you were there and joined us last night, but last night we made history. First time ever we had water baptism on a Friday night. It was filled with a lot of fireworks, fellowship, fun. But more importantly, we had about 150 people get baptized this year. So can we say congratulations to all those? Well, our canoe paddling ministry is selling garlic chicken, Kalua pig and cabbage, Paul's poppers, and kimchi fried rice. Lots of options for them if you want to support their ministry. This boy was raising his hand as soon as I walked out, so here you go. Well, if you take out your bulletin with me, we have a few announcements that we'd like to highlight. First of all, our Spirit of Aloha celebration begins next weekend. So if you can turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't come here next week. We want you to come to church. We just don't want you to come here to Farrington. No one's going to be here. We're going to be at the Stan Sheriff Center. Our first the weekend will start off with the Share de Aloha on Friday, May 20th at 5:30. Now, this is going to be an opportunity for you to invite some family and friends. It's going to be an awesome, awesome showcasing and the talents of our hula and halau with various of different halals from across the world. There's going to be over 300 dancers that will be there. It's a free event. We encourage you to invite people over. It's going to just be an awesome time of worship and fellowship and just a great exhibit of hula through worshiping Jesus. And then we have our weekend services, May 21st, Saturday at 6 p.m., and then Sunday, May 22nd at 8 and 11. So want to make note of that. We're also going to be having a choir for our Spirit of Aloha services on Saturday and Sunday. So I don't know how many of you would love to praise and worship, but you might not have the best voice and you're kind of scared to audition for the front lines. We're going to take anybody. So regardless of if you're a shower singer or you sing in your car, we want you to be a part of our choir. They're going to be meeting this coming Tuesday, 6 o'clock at the Ministry Center. You can come on by. We'll give you the words, the lyrics. We'll practice. It's going to be an awesome time. And you can join us on stage and be a part of our Spirit of Aloha choir, okay? A lot of people have been asking. Usually Spirit of Aloha, as many of you know, is our New Hope outreach. So it's an opportunity where we usually do an event. But we don't have one specific event this year. Spirit of Aloha has become a year-long campaign. We saw it as an opportunity to, instead of just doing one major event, we're going to do stuff throughout the year. So we've done cleanups here at Farrington High School. Tomorrow we're going to be having our blood bank drive. So for those of you who signed up and made an appointment, there's going to be our blood bank. Because we had an overwhelming number of people sign up, we're actually going to move it to the library. So if you signed up, you can go over there. But we're just trying to do more things in the community and for the community. And one ministry that has just gotten started that exhibits this heart of New Hope, doing things in the community, is our Meals on Wheels ministry. And for more information and just to get a little bit of the heart of that ministry, let's take a look at this.
Doing this Meals on Wheels delivery, I'm telling you, it is absolutely painless.
We have all different routes all over the island, and Kalihi is one of the areas where we have a big concentration of seniors.
To see their faces, the appreciation that they have, you know, when you go to their home with this hot meal, sometimes it's their only hot meal for the day.
So we had this kind of issue that was coming up where these routes were growing so rapidly, and we were wondering, what are we going to do? And then we were able to touch base with New Hope.
They're so nice, and you know, and they talk to me so nice, and I appreciate them.
Going to these homes, talking to the seniors, and seeing the conditions that they live in really touches your heart. I mean, it makes you think about your own parents, your own grandparents, and what it would be like if they didn't have any family.
Our upcoming volunteer orientation dates are going to be Thursday, May 26th, and Saturday, May 28th, here at our location, Lanakila Pacific in Liliha. We're right across the street from Kuakini Hospital.
So the Meal on Wheels is the most wonderful thing they ever have. Whoever started it, you know, did the right thing for us elderly, no?
Would you say thank you to our Meals on Wheels ministry? So if you want to be a part of that, we have a sign-up sheet for those orientation meetings outside, and we'd be more than happy to give you more information. Another thing we want to highlight is our military ministry is going to be putting together some care packages for 4th of July, and they need help putting some things together and putting some items in these care packages. We have a complete list outside, but some of the main items range from batteries to devotional material, letters of encouragement. We also will be taking some wet wipes. So there's a whole list outside. If you want to help us give back to the military through these care packages, we're going to be collecting these items Memorial Day weekend, and you can bring those items with you. But if you want a complete list, again, come see us outside under the concierge tent. And also finally, on May 22nd, our Spanish ministry, New Hope Nueva Esperanza, if I said that right, they will be having their kickoff celebration at their new home at Dole Middle School. It's going to be at 6 o'clock, and Pastor Wayne will be sharing a message with all of those in attendance. So if you want to see more or learn more about that, you can call Pastor Rana at the Ministry Center to get more information about that ministry. Okay, if I can have the ushers prepare for the tithes and offering as we prepare our hearts to give. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this church called New Hope, Lord, a church that continues just to be a blessing, Lord, to so many in our community and making a difference in the lives of those here in our congregation, Father, for just the past 15, 16 years, Lord, all the wonderful things that you have done and that you have allowed us to be a part of, most recently with the 150 individuals who have just been baptized, Father. We're so blessed that we as a congregation get to be a part of their journey and get to be a part of that whole process. So we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we get to be a blessing in the community, that we get to go out and really shine your light, Father. Finally, Lord, we ask for your blessing upon these tithes and offering, that we can continue to do things in the community, that this will allow us the opportunity to be that light, Lord, and just to shine your presence wherever we may go. And Father, we just ask for your blessing upon the giver, Lord. May you bless it and multiply it. Father, we thank you again for all that we have. We say this all together now in Jesus Christ's name, and we all say amen. Go ahead, ushers.
Shines for all of men. Then how can we light the way if we don't go to them? I believe to know God's heart is to
Great job, Matthew and Joe, on that very special music there. Hey, you know, the blood drive that we're doing is we're getting together as a Hawaii Pastors Round Table. It's about 30 pastors of influential churches in the community. Crosses all denominational lines. We've got Baptists, we have Protestant, we have Catholics, even the Salvation Army is involved. And we're saying we're going to do something for the community. We're going to let the light of Jesus shine in the community by doing different kinds of projects. And one is a blood drive. If we can all, as Christians, come together and give blood the same way the Lord gave us His blood, we can make a huge difference in this community. And what's going to happen is, as you give blood tomorrow, or if you can't make it here, go down to the blood bank. And as you give blood, tell them who you represent. That you represent New Hope. In fact, wear one of your New Hope shirts or something. And they will keep track of how many pints of blood churches are giving to the blood bank. They'll give us a report as to how many lives have been saved because of the blood that we've given. And that's going to go out. We want to give a press release out to the community and say, churches are here to do something good for the community. You guys are on board with that? Amen for that? Yeah. We want to let the light of Jesus shine in the community this year. Well, take out your notes. We're going to continue in a series we're calling Loving God. We love God in many different ways, and today we'll be focusing upon loving God through our reach. Well, what does that mean? Let me ask you a question. If you were going to look for Jesus today, where would you look? Where would you find Him? Would you find Him here in church? Yeah, probably. Hopefully. Would you find Him at down in Ala Moana Park? Yeah, I think so. Would you find Him in a bar? Yeah, maybe. We have some clues as to where we could look to find Jesus. You look in the Bible, and you'll find Jesus in very many places in the community. You'll find Him in the synagogue, but many times He wasn't there. He would teach in the synagogues, but many times you'll find Him doing ministry out in the streets, and the way I would say it, out on the margins of life. Synagogues were usually based in the center of town, and many of those who weren't so-called qualified, who were the unlovable, who were the untouchables, those who were sick, those who were full of leprosy, many times the society will shun them and push them out to the margins of life. And when you read about the ministry of Jesus, that's where you'll find Him many times. Out where other people don't want to go. If you hang around lepers, the thought was, you're going to catch leprosy. And so you read about Jesus doing ministry where He is healing the lepers, where He's allowing those who were blind to now see, those who were lame to now be able to walk. He was there to heal the sick, and you'll find Him out in the margins of life. Not necessarily in the synagogue, not necessarily in the church. There were those who were just disowned. There were those who were in prison. And you'd find Jesus there. You know, I had a chance to go to the Women's Correctional Facility, WCCC Women's Community Correctional Center, out in the Kailua side. And, you know, they've been asking me to come. They've been watching the DVDs of what we have here, of my services, Pastor Wayne, and they've been watching it. They kept asking, hey, when can you come? Can you please come? And come and see us live. You know, we'd love to have a message out there live. And I get so caught up with other things. And finally, I said, you know what? I got to just put it in my calendar. So I did. But as you would have it, you know, the days get caught up real fast with all kinds of other stuff. Well, this last Wednesday was supposed to be the day I go to WCCC. And sure enough, this week, I get caught up with some staff things going on. I have a baptism that was last night. And then I'm taking this master's course out of Fuller, and I have two papers that are due. One is like 15 pages long, the other is 20 pages long, and I got to get this thing done, but I have this on my calendar to go to WCCC. Well, the chaplain called me because it was raining all this past week. The chaplain said, well, you know, Pastor, if it's raining at 5 o'clock, I'll call you because the services have to be held outdoors, and if it's raining, we can't have it, so I'll give you a call. So I go home, and I got my Fuller homework here, ready to do my homework, write my papers. I have the Bible out getting ready for, you know, the outreach out at WCCC, and I have my phone sitting there. waiting for her to call to cancel this event. Well, and I'm studying, and I live in Nuuanu, and it was pouring rain in Nuuanu. And my phone said 5 o'clock. I said, oh, is she calling? 5:15, she's still not calling. I'm thinking, oh, I think she lost my phone number or something because it's pouring rain. 5:30, I waited. I thought, oh, I better go out there. So I got in my car, and I washed my car that morning. I'm driving out in the rain. Pali Highway is pouring. My windshield wiper is just going crazy. I go over the Pali. It is still pouring rain. I get down to where Mauna Willi is, where Kailua Drive-In used to be, completely dry. The roads are all dry. Turn the corner by Castle Medical Center, go to the women's facility, completely dry. I walk in there, and all the women are, there's like about 320 or so women who are residing there in WCCC. They had a tent set up in their basketball court. About 250 of them were under this tent. And they're looking at me coming in. They say, we've been waiting for you to come. Hey, when is Pastor Wayne going to come? We want him to speak to us as well. I said, you got to plan for all night, because you know Portuguese, they go all night long. They say, well, we wanted you to come. We really were waiting for you. And, you know, I looked at them, and I talked to them about potential. And in the end, I said, you know, can I encourage you with one scripture? It's out of Isaiah, and it says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Those who wait upon who? Those who wait upon Wayne Cordero? Those who wait for Elwin Ahu? No, those who wait upon the Lord will renew your strength. I said, you don't have to wait for me to come to bring Jesus to you. You don't have to wait for Pastor Wayne to come to bring Jesus for you. You know where he is? He's right here with you right now. Because the Lord is found amongst those who live in the margins of life. That's where he does his ministry. You know, I'm reading about Jesus and I'm trying to follow his ministry, and I'm wondering, you know, why did he spend so much time with those who live on the margins? Do you find anywhere in the Bible where he's having dinner with kings? You find anywhere like that? You find anywhere in the Bible that he's having dinner with presidents of countries? Wouldn't that be good? That he sits with presidents and leaders of nations so he can influence them for the sake of the gospel. You find that anywhere in the Bible? I don't. But I find him with those on the margins. Why did he spend so much time with these who society has shunned and not these who are in the high calibers of life? Let me answer that by asking you this other question. What are the two greatest commandments? To love God and to love one another. Now, which one is easier to love? God or one another? Depends on who that one another is, yeah? Sometimes I think, and the motivation may be a little bit wrong or off, sometimes I think it's easier to love God because God is the one who should answer our prayers. God is the one who should give us blessings along the way if we're obedient to him. And so we can snuggle up next to God. But you ask us to snuggle up next to someone who won't give us anything in return? Somebody who I can't stand? It's very difficult to love those who the Bible says are the least of these. But you know what, folks? It's by loving them that we show how much we love God. It's almost like there is a circuitry of love that comes from God. We receive the love from God. How many of you know that God loves you? You know that? Yeah, you should know that. That God loves you. And it's almost like the Lord says, understand and receive the love I've given you. Now extend that same love to others around you. It says, love God, but love others as well. Because as we do so, we then extend that same love that we receive from him back to him. The degree of our love for him is really based on how much we're willing to love the least of these. Maybe that's why he spent so much time with these who the society says are the least of, to show us what it means to love these who the world says, no, we don't want to have anything to do with. You know, I'm excited about tonight because I'm going to bring you a message tonight by way of a video. About a couple of months ago, you remember if you've been coming here for a while, that we took a trip to Africa. We were invited by the Mercy Ships Ministry. It's a hospital ship that does surgery and does medical services for those who are impoverished countries, that they can't have any kind of services at all. Well, we do a charity concert here every Christmas, and we've been sending the donations, 100% donations, to the Mercy Ships. And they sent us an invitation and said, hey, would you come on over? And you can see what we've been doing with the donations given. And so we were invited, and we spent 1 week immersed in the ministry of the Mercy Ships. In other words, we got to see everything that they did. And you're going to see, folks, it's not going to be a travel video that you're going to see, all right? I'm hoping to show you this video and for you to be challenged to see how a few volunteers are so willing to sacrifice their lives for those who the world has said we don't want to have anything to do with. Sierra Leone is a country on the western coast of Africa and is considered one of the most impoverished nations in the world. I want you to see how the hearts and hands of these volunteers has transformed thousands and thousands of lives. Right, sit back, take out your popcorns, right, relax, but journey with me as we travel halfway around the globe to see how these volunteers of the Mercy Ships have been able to love God through the extension of their reach. Take a look at this.
Sierra Leone, a relatively small country located here on the western coast of the African continent. With its beautiful beaches and the warm tropical weather, you'd never have believed that we just flew halfway around the globe to get here. But that's where the similarities end. Like other parts of the world, this once thriving community struggled to establish its own political stability, resulting in a recent civil war that's caused inevitable consequences of a social breakdown and scarred the hopes and the hearts of its people. For example, Sierra Leone was once noted for their educational achievements. However, its level of education and its infrastructure has declined sharply over the last 30 years. Sierra Leone remains a country rich in natural resources, agriculture, titanium, and even diamonds. Yet it's so poor in its social services and medical care for its people. For example, the average lifespan for a person born in Sierra Leone today is but 55 years old, which means Pastor Wayne would have been gone a long time ago. Its infant mortality rate is a striking 80 per 1,000 live births. And for every 10,000 residents, there's but 4 hospital beds. Its largest hospital still operates today without any running water. It's no wonder that when the Mercy Ships arrived here in port in Freetown, that thousands upon thousands walked miles upon miles just seeking a sense of hope from this floating hospital of God's mercy. It was a dream of Don and Dion Stevens to help those who were living in unimaginably poor conditions, in meager surroundings with no medical care and little hope for the future. In their book, Ships of Mercy, they write, "The modern world has passed these people by. No doctors, no dentists, no hospitals, no drugs, no alleviation of pain, and no treatment of ailments. Mercy Ships brings hope to those who have none. Because of Mercy Ships, people see who would be blind, walk who would be crippled, and live who would die." During its 10-month assignment here in port, it's estimated that the Mercy Ships will reach approximately 450,000 people in this one African nation alone with medical services and assistance. Its dedicated team of doctors and support staff, who are all volunteers, by the way, live to be the hearts and the hands of Christ to reach one for Him.
There's 450 people that live on the ship, and everything that you would need to do to stay alive and to prosper is done here. So someone cuts the hair, someone cooks the food, there's teachers in the school, the deck officers, engineers and the motormen, electricians and plumbers.
All of our crew on the ship are volunteers. None of them are salaries. And in addition, they pay for the privilege of serving.
Everybody's here because they want to be here, which is much different at home, where you're there because you want to make money. So we all come with the same common purpose.
I'm the captain of the Africa Mercy. So I'm in charge of the ship and its maintenance, the security of the ship, and all aspects of the operational side of a ship.
Most of our patients, as you can see, they have deformities. And because of that, they are rejected from their communities. They are rejected by their society. They are rejected by themselves. They don't see themselves as a person. So I help them to understand that they have a value. They are people, they have dignity, God loves them, and we love them.
I do maxillofacial surgery, which is children with birth deformities like clefts and tumors and war injuries. So I operate pretty much all day long, all week long, all year long, and we never come to the end of the need.
Many, many people would never be able to afford to go back home and keep coming back for their post-operative appointments for wound dressing changes and things like that. So we have a centre where we care for people and we love people, and that can be in a variety of different ways, whether we entertain the children playing games or whether we just ask them for their stories and we gently just look after them.
I lead the agriculture program for Mercy Ships. Many of the things that we see on the ship are actually things that we have to treat because of malnutrition and disease that can be stopped just by providing a variety of foods and a good supply of food.
Everyone who comes that we can treat with our specialties receives treatment. And while they're here, they're exposed to people from 40 nationalities. They ask them, why are you here? Why are you helping the people of Africa? And that's an open door to share of your faith in Jesus. Many, many people who receive the surgeries and the agricultural training become followers of Jesus as a result of our experience with them.
The way the doctors and the nurses treat my own people, I was so touched. And I knew immediately this is what I want to do. And in 97, I apply and I've been accepted, and since then I've been here.
I was here all of 2008 in Liberia, and in Benin 2009, and I took a break and I've come back for a lifetime.
Why do I come back? I come back because it's an awesome blessing to be here and to serve the people and just show them from very simple things that they can do that will improve their crop production, raise their standard of living, but ultimately just have the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with them.
To me, it is an expression of my faith. It is a way that we can work together as the body of Christ to be his hands and feet to some of the neediest people on earth.
I saw the faces of people coming on board the ship and saw them going off again. I saw the effect on their lives, and my service here was a part of that. So until the Lord leads me somewhere else, this is where I'll be.
Mother Teresa, when asked how could she ever expect to make a difference in poverty-stricken streets of Calcutta, said, "I start with the face God put right in front of me." You see, to the Lord, it doesn't matter how many songs we sing, or the eloquence of our speech, or the intensity of our prayers. See, those things don't matter to the Lord. What matters most is our willingness to reach out to others with his heart and his hands, especially to those he considers to be the least. He knows that we will only be able to love him to the extent that we're willing to love, yes, even the least of these. Here in Sierra Leone, thousands will wait, some even overnight, to receive medical services, and some may not be treated for weeks or even months. But they know that once they've been touched by the hearts and the hands of the volunteers of the Mercy Ships, their lives would have been changed forever.
So we apologize for the quality, a little bit of this video. We're not allowed to bring our big cameras in here because this is a very special place. It's the actual operating rooms where all of the operations on board ship
happen right here. There's six operating rooms here that specialize in different procedures, from maxillofacial to eye or pterygium or cataract operations and some general surgeries. Everything is state of the art, and we're gonna go observe some of the surgeries right now. So we're here observing the cataract surgery, and we're right in the process of having the lens removed. It's a very meticulous process, and the operation takes place via a microscope. They'll be doing about 10 to 15 patients throughout the day. It's a pretty remarkable procedure that's happening on board a floating vessel.
Many of these patients are blind in one or both eyes, so Mercy Ships is literally restoring sight to the blind. A few weeks after the operation, patients receive follow-up treatment to prevent a recurrence of the cataract. Then, these men and women, who have had their sight completely restored, gather together to offer thanks and praise to God and to the volunteers for giving them a modern-day miracle. Every week, over 100 patients take part in this celebration of sight.
We have the unique opportunity to observe one of the most invasive surgeries. It's a maxillofacial surgery. Right now, they're in the process of removing a grapefruit-sized tumor from the jawline of this patient. Dr. Gary Parker has decades of experience and is able to contribute his gifting in this way. He's done thousands of similar types of surgeries.
A procedure of this extent in a first world country would receive extensive publicity, when in fact a procedure like this on board Mercy Ships is routine, yet they don't receive much notoriety or publicity for it. But nobody here is seeking the spotlight. They're volunteering to bring glory to a kingdom far greater than their own. These life-changing surgeries are but a catalyst to alter the spiritual journey of thousands of people. I got to talk to John, a 12-year-old boy whose legs were extremely bowed. It's hard to explain the emotions that I felt upon seeing him a few days later, recovering from the operation that fixed those once crooked limbs. And what about Maurice? How did he feel after his large facial tumor had been removed? What's it like to grow up different, on the fringe of society, and then all of a sudden be healed? To be blind and now see. To reunite with your son and for the first time believe that he has a chance at a normal life. To be able to provide for your family because a stranger freely gave you knowledge. To be able to breathe and eat and live without hindrance, without ridicule, after a life of rejection. Much like an encounter with Jesus, these people are forever changed after their experience with Mercy Ships. Sheku Kante had a tumor removed 8 years ago and is now a motor man on board the Africa Mercy.
Some years back in this port, I had my surgery as a boy, and now I'm in the same port in my own country, serving as a crew member. It's really a blessing. I'm really seeing God.
Tamba was finishing up his recovery when I met him. He was anxious to leave the ship because he had an important message to share.
When I get home, I will tell people a lot about Mercy Ship. Mercy Ship have done a lot. I will go and try to get others who have the same problem like me, because I know if God did it for me, can do it for them. I will never forget.
A week with Mercy Ships is a week living in the miraculous presence of our Savior. This indeed is the work of Christ.
In Matthew 25, we're reminded why these acts of kindness are so important to the Lord. Read with me what Matthew 25 says. Ready? For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. A stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me. When you did it to one of the least of these, you were doing it to me. Here the Lord opens our eyes to examples of acts of kindness. But notice he never defined the categories of those who we should consider to be the least of. Why did he do that? Because he left it up to us. We are to define who they are. It's whomever we think the least of. But here's the good news. You don't have to travel halfway around the world to find them. They're right in your neighborhood. They could be your neighbor. They could be someone at work. It could be your ex-spouse, someone that you have refused to extend forgiveness towards. Could be someone sitting right next to you. Don't look around, just look at me now. They're the ones that we've written off from our lives. They're the ones that we don't want to consider anything to do with anymore. But listen to what the Lord says again. He says, just as you've done to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So if we refuse to love those who we should be loving, if we refuse to share hope and care for someone who has been uncared for, if we refuse to forgive someone when we should be forgiving them, we're doing it unto the Lord. See, in other words, our relationship with the Lord is being defined every day by how we treat those who we think the least of. It's not about lengthening our resume with superficial acts of kindness. Listen to the response again of the righteous in Matthew 25. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Notice the attitude of surprise. The righteous had no idea they were reaching out to those who were considered to be the least. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, these were all acts of a second nature to them. They were engaged in such acts without giving it a second thought. Now, nothing wrong with acts of kindness. Here's the issue. With what kind of heart are you extending these acts of kindness? We may pad our resumes with all kinds of involvement and good deeds, but we'll still miss the mark. You see, it's not the quantity of deeds that count. It's not how much we do that matters to the Lord. It's whether or not our kindness is a natural overflow of our relationship with Christ. It's when we expect nothing in return. When we are willing to extend our reach to the least of these, it opens up our hearts and our eyes, and we're able to see all the blessings that God is willing to bless us with. One of the common themes that we hear among the staff here on the Mercy Ships is that how their limited commitment that they thought they were engaged in extended into years and years, into a lifestyle of giving unto the Lord. We hear it from the ship's captain, who could have had a wonderful profession in the maritime industry, but he gave that up to be a volunteer here on board with his family. It's a man named Jonathan. He's an anesthesiologist, a doctor who has a great profession in London. This is his 15th tour on the Mercy Ships. Had a conversation with a young man named Lawrence. He committed 3 weeks to spend here on the ship. It's turned into 20 years. He met his wife here. They've adopted two little children that they're raising right here on board. And then there's Dr. Gary Parker. 4 weeks of volunteerism has turned into 23 years. Where he started off as an oral surgeon, and that has turned into an expert in the field of reconstructive surgery. The things that he does, we watched one of his surgeries the other day, and he removed a huge, almost a grapefruit-sized tumor from this young man's face. Now, these kinds of operations would gather all kinds of attention from the worldwide media, but this Dr. Gary, he's been doing this every single day for 23 years. Why do they do this? Why do they take such a risk? Why do they give up their profession and their lives just to serve here on the Mercy Ships? Because they knew that when they reach out to one, God will bless them. Listen to what Isaiah 58 says. Share your food with the hungry. Help those who are helpless, poor and destitute. Clothe those who are cold, and don't hide from relatives who need your help. If you do these things, God will shed his glorious light upon you. Goodness will be a shield before you, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will quickly answer, yes, I am here. So who is that person that you consider to be the least of in your life? Can I encourage you to reach out to them? Will it involve some risk? I'm sure it will. But that's when your faith and trust in the Lord must kick in. Look beyond yourself and see that person the way God sees them and loves them regardless of the circumstances. And as you seek to reach out to that one, God will reach out to you with blessings you never imagined were possible. How do I know this? Because that's God's promises of love for you and for even the least of these.
Shines for all of men. Then how can
Would you say thank you to Chad Brownstein for putting all that together? He was our videographer. Did a great job. Let me apologize, too. I was supposed to warn you in advance about the graphic nature of some of that, but, too late now, yeah. Hey, you know, we saw ministry happen in so many areas. So many ways where the love of Jesus was portrayed, not just through the doctors. One gentleman you might have seen in that agricultural shot where he didn't have any hand. Did you guys see that? Where his forearm was cut off and one had little kind of like little stumps coming out. He was involved in the Civil War. Civil War was just recent, about 10 years ago. And one of the rebels had cut off both of his hands. He came to this farmer and he said, "I don't want to live homeless. I want to work." And so the farmer gave him a machete and he just started clearing land three times more than the others who had hands. When we were there, he took out his cell phone and started making calls with his hands. Now, the rebel who cut off his hands came and asked him for forgiveness. And he forgave the rebel. You talk about someone who he would think the least of, but yet he forgave that rebel. And the love of God was found in the midst of all that. Where are you looking for Jesus? Where do you think you're going to find him? You're going to find him amongst those who are considered to be the least of, that we think the least of. And you don't have to go to Africa. I know a lot of us are looking at this video thinking, wow, we want to get involved. That's great. But you don't have to go there. There are people right in your midst, maybe in your family, that you have not yet forgiven, that you don't want to have anything to do with. Where do you think you're going to find Jesus? Some of you may know that in my BC days, you know, before Cordero, that I was divorced twice. And my son, Brandon, who you've seen here on stage, he saw me go through those two divorces. One was from his mom. You think he wanted to hang with me? I was probably one he thought the least of. When I came to Christ here at New Hope, I knew that I somehow had to turn my life around. I received the love from God, but I knew that something had to happen in my life. And so I called him when he was 16 years old. I said, "Brandon, you want to go to a conference?" I didn't want to tell him it was a Christian conference. He said, "Well, yeah, okay, Dad." I said, "Well, Brandon, it's a Christian men's conference." He said, "Well, yeah, all right, let's go." And so now 16-year-old, he was always late. And sure enough, for that conference, he turned up late at the NBC Arena. Promise Keepers was in town. We went into the arena, and because we were late, the entire arena was packed with men singing all these songs. Only seats available were behind this big jumbo screen. And because we were behind the screen, the lyrics for the words were backwards for us. And Brandon is singing the songs backwards. You know, he's having a good time. And one of the pastors said, "If you brought your son with you, would you kneel at his feet and pray for him?" I got down and I prayed for him. When I stood up, Brandon got down and prayed for me. When I drove him home that night to his mom's house, I hugged him and I said, "Did you enjoy the conference?" He said, "Yeah, Dad," and I can still hear his voice. He said, "Dad, all is forgiven. Let's start over again." He said, "I love you." Where did I find Jesus? I found him in the midst of a young man who was so willing to reach out to his dad. Where are you going to find him? The Lord will be found among those who's considered to be the least. And I think when you think about it, folks, we're all considered to be the least, aren't we? We're all sinners, aren't we? Would you do something with me? I'm going to take a risk here, right? If you're a sinner, would you stand right now? If you're a sinner. Yeah, look around you, folks. If you didn't stand up, you just sinned, because we're all sinners. Look around you. We're all sinners in need of love from a Heavenly Father. And if we are all sinners and we're considered to be the least, guess where you're going to find the presence of God? Right in our midst. And if you have someone in your life that you have not yet forgiven, someone in your life that you have been holding off for a while, maybe it's time you extend. Extend the love that you've received from him to that person around you. And by doing so, that goes right back to the Father. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us the way that you do. We indeed are the worst of all sinners. We're the ones, Lord, that don't deserve second chances, but you've given it to us time and time again. Father, first of all, would you help us to receive that love, even if we feel we don't deserve it, Lord God? You're still so willing to pour that out from your heart to ours. So help us to receive that love from you and extend that to those around us. Lord, you may have dropped a name in our heart as this service was going on. Would you give us the courage to take that risk, to forgive, to love, to accept? And by doing so, we express our love towards you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask, some of you might be here and haven't yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's nothing complex. It's really just understanding that he does love you unconditionally, and he's there to forgive you for your sins. Anything that you may have done in your past is forgiven. It's done. He's paid the price. But you have to receive that. If you haven't yet said to Jesus, man, I want to start a new life with you, Lord, I'm going to open my heart and allow you to come in. If that's you today and you want to say, yes, Lord, come into my heart. Give me a brand new life. Would you raise a hand right now? You're saying, yes, that's me. Yeah, good. Young boys here in front. Anyone else? Anyone else on the side here? Yeah, good. God sees your hearts there. On the side here, good. Put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, I've been walking with Jesus, but there is somebody I need to let go of. I need to forgive. And man, Lord, it's going to be hard. But give me the courage to do so. Because by loving them, I'm loving you. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You're saying, Lord, help me to do that, man. Yeah, many of us going through that. Put your hands down. If you just said yes to Jesus for the first time, we have a yes packet available for you. It's completely free. As you exit, there'll be counselors holding up this yes packet. Go up to them and tell them of the decision you just made. We want to celebrate this time with you. Let's say this prayer together. I'll say the prayer. Would you repeat it with all your hearts? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins that I might have life everlasting. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. Help me to love others as you've loved me. Walk me into a new life with you and you alone. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around can hear, and so the devil can hear, so you can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, again for cleansing our hearts. We live for you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Yes. Amen. Would you welcome these who said yes for the first time? Someone as you go.